I just want to just... I'm looking in this book of 1001 Inventions That Changed the World, and it has the Segway as one.
Oh, no.
Welcome to Poorly Informed. I'm this week's host, Theo, with Peter, Will, and Max. And this week, we are going to be discussing the most important inventions in human history. So, the idea is each of us have got an invention, a development, an innovation of some kind. We're going to put it forward and discuss it and try and work out which has had the most impact on human history. Obviously, there's only four of us, and there have been a lot of good inventions over the millennia. So, if you have any other ideas, get in touch with us using the details in the description below, or we will plug them at the end of the episode. So, let's start. We'll do it slightly differently this time. So, let's instead go around and give a more detailed summary of our invention so that we all know where we stand, and then we'll get into some of the discussing so we don't get bogged down a bit too early. And also, there is no points for any argument relating to, oh, mine was first. That's not really a fair argument, otherwise we just have said the wheel. So that you can't say that, we can't say that our invention is the best because it was the first.
Actually, mine was before the wheel, so
Peter, shut up. There. Will, do you want to establish what yours is first, why it's important, why it's significant?
Okay, so the basics of mine is I'm doing nuclear fission. Now, I think this is a very important one for two reasons. First of all, it has the potential to power much of the Western world, and I think had we gone a slightly different direction, away from fossil fuels earlier and invested more money into this, we could be almost entirely powered by nuclear fission. I think that is within the realms of possibility. Clean energy for everyone, or almost clean. That's obviously things like Chernobyl and stuff like that. Make it sort of put a little downturn on this, make it maybe not quite so perfect as people might have once wanted to believe. But I think it's important enough that there was the potential there, and there still is, for us to go without greenhouse gases in powering the entire Western world. And maybe the rest of the world as everyone else starts to acquire this technology. Now, the other reason why I think it's probably one of the most important is that it has fundamentally changed how geopolitics works post-World War II. Before World War II, bigger army diplomacy was essentially the name of the game. If you had the bigger army, you won the war, you got to boss other people around. Nuclear weapons, in a sense, level the playing field, because it doesn't matter that you have a bigger army or more advanced planes, or if you've got twice the manpower. If two states both have a reasonable number of nuclear weapons, which doesn't have to be very high, they can both wipe each other out. Which kind of means neither of them then has an advantage, so both sides have to be a lot more careful with dealing with the other. So I think in the way that it's shaped global politics, it's completely changed. No one has ever had to deal with threats like these before nuclear weapons existed.
So both the future of energy and modern weaponry, nuclear fission, had a massive and sort of noticeable impact.
Yes.
Okay. So Max, what's your most significant invention?
I'm going for another modern one. So mine is the internet. So well, the internet and the World Wide Web kind of combined, because I don't really know the difference. So I've sort of divided this into two or three sections, really. So it's economic, you know, the internet has obviously been a massive driver of globalization and general economic integration and development throughout the world. Like, now we do so much of our shopping online, we can order a much larger variety of stuff than we could back in the day, where we had to flip through a catalogue and call up, I don't know what places, do Argos or something. And then there's, again, political, kind of like Will's was, especially now that, like, you know, the last 5 years, the internet has had a massive influence on elections. So we saw the Trump election and Brexit, both influence from Russia, like potential foreign involvement, so Russian hackers and stuff. It's a pretty significant driver of consequences in the world, as well as facts. And if you'll stop making fun of my hand gestures, okay? as well as the driver of sort of spreading information, albeit false or not, to a larger population. And then there's also the social impact. So now, especially our generation below us, and just generally so much of our time is spent... Okay, I'm going to sit on my hands now. So much of our time is spent on the internet, and so much of our childhood development is greatly influenced by the internet, that it's drastically different to what it was before, whatever year it was invented.
Okay. So, you got the internet and the fact it's had a big impact already, and it's going to have a huge impact. So again, another very modern and constantly very pressing invention. Peter, you've got something a little bit older.
Yes, I have gone for Vopen string.
How did you invent string? Like,
well, it's just string like, was invented by
like plants.
It was either plants or like intestines of a animal, but I mean, Vopen string allowed.
It's basically the same thing when it comes down to
like Vopen string on its own is just it doesn't look as glamorous as a nuclear bomb or as important as the internet. However, it can be used in so many things. It allowed humanity to develop so many ways in which it hadn't been able to before. So, for example, bows and arrows wouldn't have been, clearly aren't very good without string. It's not a bow and arrow then. It allows for, like, it was the first time when machines were used, essentially, when energy was stored in another form, in the tension of the string. It allows two things to be connected. It made construction viable, like, on a larger scale and easy to set up and put down. It did incredible things for transport, so most boats are heavily reliant on some form of rope. Lighting was almost all dependent on strings and candles. Everything has string in. Your hoodie has rope in still, so it's still innovating, still changing the game today. Yeah.
Okay, so an old invention, one that we often overlook, but it's still integral. When was string sort of invented? When was flax woven together?
The first proper string making was done in ancient Egypt. Like, I mean, it was made by lots of people for a lot of time. So the earliest recorded idea for bows and arrows was something 64,000 years ago. It's the earliest evidence we have.
So, and then 64,000 years on, we're still using a string in my hoodie.
Yeah.
That I'm wearing as use of tension. Okay. So that is quite impressive.
And you can argue in all of the stitching in your clothes.
Are you going to make that argument?
I am going to make that argument. Okay. So I just thought of it, and now I'm sitting smart.
Is it? Does that count?
It's string, sure. Isn't it? It's woven fibres. It's made the same way as ropes are made, just much smaller.
Yeah, but it's
smaller.
Not rope. Yeah,
but it's the same principle.
In which case you're saying woven fibres as the invention?
That's what rope is. Rope is just woven.
No, rope is woven fibres made into a long string.
Which is what string is. String is just.
This isn't string. This isn't.
That's string.
Okay, fine. We'll let you have that.
Sure, why not?
And then, so the one I've gone for, Theo, is the contraceptive pill. So this is a pill that made a significant impact on women and their relationship with work and full-time jobs after the 1960s when it was invented. You saw women able to have a career, able to have sexual lives, able to have children without having to trade off several of the things against each other, and it effectively made them equal to men, or is making them equal to men, and I see that as something which string hasn't done for 64,000 years, whereas the contraceptive pill has been doing for the last 50. Alright, so Max, you said the internet is, are you saying the internet, so talk us, so you're saying it's had a big impact on the way we live. Are you saying it's had a negative impact or a positive impact?
Overall, net positive impact. However, like with everything,
net positive puns.
Thanks, and rope.
No, it's the internet.
Also, rope makes nets.
No, don't try. No.
I'm just thinking.
Oh yeah, that's
levels
something
you
else I want to add. Rope makes nets. Thanks, Max.
Should we start again?
Nice.
So, Max, you're talking about the internet and the World Wide Web. Do you think the impact that has had, and a big impact, I would agree to some extent, are you saying that that's a positive impact or a negative impact?
I'd say, like everything, it's got positive and negative aspects. However, overall, net positive due to the, because basically, economies more interconnected, globalization is, I was going to say better for everyone, but that's debatable depending on how you think about economics. But we can argue that in the future, it's likely that it is much better than it would have been had we had no internet, and then countries wouldn't be able to specialise as easily. Obviously, it would still happen. However, writing a letter to someone and posting it is much harder than sending an email.
So you're quoting email as part of the internet?
Yeah, email as part of the internet.
So, Will, would you agree that the internet is having a net positive effect, especially when considering social media?
I wouldn't be able to ignore you and look at memes on my phone during the podcast.
That is true. Peter's looking at memes right now.
No, I'm on the Wikipedia page for rope.
And also, all these lovely people wouldn't be able to listen to our lovely voices without the internet.
Actually, that might clinch it for me. I think overall the internet has probably positively affected most people in many ways. Productivity's gone up, it's a lot easier to connect to people far away. You can start businesses online, you just need software, you don't need a building or whatever, and it makes it a lot cheaper to start various things up. However, I think economically it's undoubtedly been a good thing, but socially, I think probably not. I think it's a net negative.
And if it hurts, I mean, sorry, I should let you develop the point, but if it hurts a human being socially, does that, is the, so economically and economically you're saying it's good, socially you're saying it's bad, is that a fair trade-off? Are we saying we should allow something that improves jobs and productivity in return for potentially, we don't know yet, but potentially worse mental health and potentially worsening democracy?
I think that's a very, very difficult question to answer, and I think that's one that we, like humanity as a whole, is going to have to struggle with in the next sort of 100 years or so, because I think the increasing pressures of the internet, particularly upon young people, are starting to show, and particularly the pressures towards democracy as well. These are all things that human society hasn't caught up with how to deal with these things. We don't have laws very in place that deal with these things very well. We're largely just sort of still legislating as if it never existed, which isn't an ideal place to be when these are having tangible real-world effects. So I'd say that probably, it's unless we can figure something out, it's going to start causing bigger and bigger problems.
Well, yeah, because you're saying effectively it's okay that the internet has led to globalisation, even though people are... I mean, again, and as I say, there's correlation, not necessarily causation yet, but even though people are spending hours on Instagram and seeing self-harm pictures and we're talking about suicide and self-harm and graphic content, you know, ISIS famously communicates over the internet. Are you saying that that's a fair trade-off?
I'm going to go with my opinion of why I dislike the news. Lots of these cases are, they do definitely happen, however, it's a minority of cases. Not everyone who uses Instagram is depressed. How many users does Instagram have? I don't know. I'll go on Facebook. How many users does Facebook have? It's got over 1 billion users, right?
Well, it's a couple of billion.
Some of those people have been made depressed because of Facebook, but it's not a significant amount. It's a bad amount because any amount is bad, but it's not a significant amount.
I got an argument in favour of Max once.
Go ahead, because I didn't know where that point was going.
Japan has one of the highest rates of internet connectivity in the world, and over the last 30 years, their suicide rate has been decreasing every single year.
But their suicide rate isn't that mostly because of overwork, and they're slowly starting to deal with that.
And America's suicide rate has been increasing over the past 30 years.
However, I'd just like to go back to what I was saying, I knew where I was going. So, it's definitely, there are these cases, but it's not a majority. For a majority of the population, it is positive, or at least doesn't matter that much. Like, it's the same with addiction. Like, video games are addictive. No, people with video game with addictive personalities can get addicted to video games. A majority of people who play video games don't get addicted to them. It is just some people react badly to certain things. That doesn't mean that just because people react badly to something, it shouldn't be widely used and it should be heavily regulated.
Can I ask a question to the host here?
Yeah, go.
When we are talking about most important inventions, does them being good or bad factor into it?
No, but I think it's an interesting angle to throw on it, because bad inventions also tend to be phased out over time.
I think so. Will's whole point rests on...
We don't use the square, for instance. We use the wheel. Do you see what I mean? So if the internet is seen to be a genuinely negative and detractive influence, in a couple of hundred years, it may become a redundancy.
But I feel like something like the internet is something you can't eliminate. We've found something that you can't put the genie back in the box.
Do we know that? I mean, the internet as we know it is barely 15 years old.
Yes, but it's something so interconnected that connects people on such a different level to what they're used to that it's fundamentally very different socially. And I think even if it does turn out to be a bad thing, humans aren't going to let it go. Because of the economic benefits as well. Like, it would be disastrous for global economies if you get rid of the internet. Therefore, we're not going to get rid
of the
internet.
That's true, but the fundamentals of your point are saying, oh, look, the invention that we have made is the most important. and humans always think the time they're living in is the most important, and the inventions they make are the most important. So I think if we take a broader perspective, I think it's actually quite possible. Like, let's just drop our perceptions and our self-pride here, and let's think, okay, is it realistic that the internet falls away if we take a long view, a genuine objective view of history? Yes.
I mean, the internet was invented in the 70s, and it's only getting bigger and bigger as countries get more developed and society becomes more reliant upon other things. It's like, if you suggest, what are you saying, that we could potentially in the future get rid of the internet and not rely on it? It's like saying get rid of the news, get rid of talking to people. Like, it is such a massive and significant part of society that is so widespread and has so many positives. And as a concept, you won't be able to get rid of it.
But Max, they said that the plague was just something you had to live with. They said that diseases were something you had to live with. Yeah, they also said the plague was
sent by God to punish people. That doesn't mean that it's actually true.
Well, while I'm not equating a plague to the internet, I'm saying that people at the time just felt it was something they had to live with. It was something that they had to work with. The internet, in the same way, may one day turn out to be something that does need to be removed or curtailed or changed or adapted severely, in the same way that vaccines, when vaccines turned up, people were like, this makes sense, let's get rid of disease. And then idiots today are now saying, no, don't vaccinate my children.
That's kind of the internet's fault as well.
Yeah, that is the internet's fault.
I would kind of say that most people enjoy the internet, though. I enjoy the internet. I think everyone here enjoys the internet. And like, a better comparison would be probably alcohol. Everyone enjoys alcohol. We all know it's bad. We all know that as an invention, it has probably not helped humanity. But we enjoy it when we're used to it. It's been grandfathered in, so we accept it and we won't stop using it. And I'd say the internet's something similar. Mildly addictive, enjoyable, probably bad, but we'll keep using it.
Net, overall good, however, definitely has some bad aspects, and Theo is a Luddite.
But what I would say is, actually, I've realised I'm arguing slightly for Max here, is that it almost makes it more important if it is bad. Okay. Because if you think about it, I think economically the internet's probably one of the greatest revolutions. As we talked about many, many months ago, it was sort of, are we living through another industrial revolution? And a lot of that came down to, has the internet revolutionised the way we work enough for it to be called that? And I think economically, it almost could be seen to be such a big jump that we have gone through this massive change. And if it turns out to be a negative thing socially, it could create this really interesting situation where humans are being, the fabric of society is unable to cope with this thing that we've created because the economics make sense. And I think that would be, it's a way humanity could end, or it could be this amazing thing that turns out to be great. And I think that's just going to be really important, whatever happens.
I just want to say, we seem to have taken this view that socially it's bad, but if you're not taking into account how much easier it is to organise things. Like, yeah, okay.
Max, we've got to move on.
Shut up. Final point. Okay, one of my habits, I feel like I'm getting it, well, not getting it confused with, but I feel like separating it from texting people and like phone calls, that even if we didn't have the internet, that would still exist. So just talking about how communication is easier is less significant, but I still think it's definitely the ease of communication. And how earlier today I was like, I'm going here, and I was like, oh, no one's here, where are we going? Oh, we're meeting at Will's house. I was like, oh, okay. And now I came to Will's.
Did you actually think we were meeting at my house?
Yeah, I was outside your house.
Oh, okay.
And then I came, picked Thea off. We didn't have the internet. That wouldn't have been able to happen.
That is true. Okay, we'll come back to the internet, because we talked about whether it's good or bad. We've not talked so much about its importance, but we'll come back to that once we've looked at the other things in a bit more detail. Will, nuclear fission. I'm not a physicist.
Physicist.
Okay,
I really hope we could caught that sound on the mic.
Oh, Bob.
Surprisingly loud.
That'll tell you. I'm not a physicist. Can you break down nuclear fission? I mean, can you explain what nuclear fission is in a sort of simple manner? And then why it's so important?
The basics of nuclear fission is if you send a neutron at very, very high speed into certain types of atoms, it's sort of absorbed by the atom isn't the right correct word, but I'm struggling to remember all my physics here. So let's call that what it is. And then essentially the atom becomes unstable and disintegrates into a number of different atoms with a smaller number of particles. But in this smaller number of component particles. And then in this process, other neutrons are sent out.
isotopes, right? Is that it? Is that the right word?
No, because there will be a different. It'll be a different atom. So, true. But
your boy, isotopes. Is that how it works? I might get something right for once.
And then all these neutrons, and then all these neutrons shoot out, hit other atoms, and it creates this sort of chain reaction where loads and loads of energy is released as each of these atoms are sort of split up. So that's the basics of nuclear fission. And this releases...
So we're focusing on the energy.
Yes, that's the important bit.
So energy released when science-y thing happens.
Yes, yeah, that's a good way of putting it. You release a tremendous amount of energy. I can't remember the fact, but I have read it somewhere where a very, very small amount of uranium is equivalent to however many tons of coal. It's an incredible amount. So the basics of this in power stations is that you have this, and then you use this energy to heat steam and drive turbines, and that creates your electricity, much like we would in coal power stations. But the difference here is that, for all intents and purposes, compared to coal, it's clean and safe. Now, this is a controversial statement, I know. I've always been a pro-nuclear power person. That's just who I am. So bear in mind that I am biased in this situation.
Okay.
But if you think of a coal power station releases loads and loads of particles and all that into the atmosphere that people then breathe in, and that's obviously bad. And actually, coal's slightly radioactive as well, which means they actually release more radiation than a nuclear power station.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. That was an interesting thought. However, the downside of nuclear power is that when it does go wrong, it goes quite badly wrong. So Chernobyl, obviously, not a good situation there. Essentially, one of the reactors overheated and blew up, and then...
However, wasn't that due to mismanagement rather than a problem with nuclear fission itself? Wasn't that the Russians wanted to push it beyond the safe capacity?
Yes,
that's true, but if you did that with coal, you would get a boom, and then, like, radioactive waste over Belarus.
True, however, you can't blame that on nuclear power.
Well, yes.
It's not that nuclear power is not safe, it's that doing it unsafely is unsafe.
I suppose Max had a point. A better example might be Fukushima in Japan after the tsunami, when it leaked, I don't know the details, it leaked radioactive waste, huge amounts of radioactive waste into the local area and into the sea. The world panicked, shut down many of its power stations. As far as we know, I think the site is quarantined, it's barely been cleaned up. People have had to be evacuated from their homes permanently. That's an incident that, you know, there's no human mismanagement there. It's just a tsunami. And
I'd argue the human mismanagement there is you shouldn't build nuclear power stations where they're likely to be hit by tsunamis. Japan...
But, like, isn't all of Japan likely to get hit by a tsunami?
Yeah, I mean, that's why many areas of Japan have to... Because nuclear power stations often have to be built by water because they need it for the cooling. And building nuclear power stations in areas where tsunami is very tsunami prone, I would argue, is not the best idea. How to solve that and still get nuclear power to those regions is a problem that we've yet to really figure out. So for a lot of the time, it's the only option, really. But what I'd say in response to that, a lot of the world did shut down with their reactors. Germany's sort of committed to getting rid of all of theirs, And because of this, we've seen a massive increase in CO2 produced in Germany. Like, they are infinitely less... Well, not infinitely. There's obviously a quantifiable number on this, but they are less green than they were because they're shutting down their nuclear reactors.
Why would you say that nuclear, like, fission was more important as an invention than, like, oil refining, for example? Because I just Googled it, and 14% of the world's energy comes from nuclear power, but over 35% of the world's energy comes from oil. So surely oil refining is... much more important. Magnitude's more important. Like, 2.5 magnitudes more important.
I'd say it's more because of the potential. Because there's only so much you can do with oil, because A, we're going to run out of it, and B, it'll eventually kill us all if we keep using it. Climate change as being a result of that is obviously not a good thing. But whereas with nuclear energy, if we harness it properly and safely, and the fuel is a very, very small problem. It's hard to emphasise how small of an issue the fuel is, in terms of you're creating such a small amount of waste that we can actually stations that are invented in the 1980s, nuclear reactors that were invented then, would actually be able to use this fuel and get almost 90% of it, use it up again, and so you're left with a much, much smaller proportion of fuel that actually you can't use and is just dangerous. Now, those were never built because they were too expensive, and people really don't like funding nuclear power because it's very, very expensive upfront costs. It costs immense amounts to build a station, and it costs immense amounts to shut one down. But in process of while they are running, they are very cheap. electricity. And I think, for me, nuclear is one of those things that we could, by now, have 100% clean energy if we'd wanted to, but the political will isn't
there. I mean, that's great, but what you're saying is this is an invention that has lots of potential. It's not really had an impact so far.
Well, it's had an impact to the extent of humans have been handed a potentially infinitely powerful tool, and they haven't, we've decided not to necessarily use it.
I wouldn't say that's an impact. I think you're just bitter that we haven't implemented nuclear power on a large scale.
I am bitter, but I mean, think of climate change. Think of how disastrous that's going to be. Yeah. And think of avoiding that and how important that could be.
Absolutely, but it's still not had so much of an impact on humanity as, for instance... Wait, Max, what was yours?
The internet. I was going to argue for Will. Have you heard of the Cold War?
I am familiar with it, yes.
Pretty sure quite a lot of that was because of the invention of nuclear
weapons. So we didn't talk about atomic weaponry, which is, with all the respect in the world, is probably far more interesting.
Yes, I would agree. Those listening, I think it's more important.
So you have nuclear fission, and then there's sciencey stuff, which means that that energy is harnessed and put into a big bomb, and then you make it into a missile, and you throw it at your intended destination, there's a big explosion, everyone gets radiation poisoning and or death. So you're saying that that has had a bigger impact on the world than the internet, maybe through the Cold War?
Yes. I'd say the internet has... While I think the internet will do so in the future, it has yet to shape global policy in terms of nations going at each other. When you have two nations on two sides of a disagreement, they hack each other and all that, but it isn't defined by the internet. That is a sort of a part of it. Whereas when two nuclear powers have a disagreement, the fundamental red line is, if they cannot find a way to get along, they both have the capacity to wipe out everyone in each of the countries. Wipe them off the map in every meaningful way. And that is something that in human history before we never had. Mm-hmm. That was never possible until nuclear weapons. And that is such a powerful tool. It just changes how the whole political
game is played. But the Cold War is over. The Cold War has been dead and buried for, 30 years now?
Yeah, but how many people died because of it? How is the world different now than it was before as a result? You've got Vietnam, Korea, Afghanistan, you've got going to space, that's because of the
Cold War. Actually, you could argue that even better by saying the fact that atomic weapons decreased the chance of a major war and instead only limited the conflict to Korea, Vietnam and Afghanistan. So I suppose, but even so...
As well as all of the African, South American revolutions and stuff.
But even so, it's effectively a redundant argument, surely, because you're saying, okay, it's great that this historical event happened, but what's the relevance of an atomic weapon today in 2019?
The fundamentals of geopolitics still break down as the US and Russia can't get in a direct war without a major risk of everyone dying, to put it bluntly. And that really handicaps and sort of, as well as handicapping, it changes politics in a way that is really difficult to discuss because it's so conceptual in the fact that both countries have to play this guessing game of will the other person do it whenever they're in a conflict. And it means a lot of the time you can't afford to take these risks. So a lot of countries do have, now, I mean, I think the UN is also a big part of this, how we get them involved in discussions between two countries, because we cannot afford another world war. We live in a world where if there is World War III, the chances are humanity is meaningfully wiped out.
I suppose the planet would like that. I mean, the net impact would probably be quite good.
Yeah, it almost certainly would be.
You're remaining unusually quiet. Are you still looking at Peter? Are you still looking at?
I saw him Google define string, so I don't think his argument is very.
My argument is rock solid. Are you ready to hear it?
Yeah, go on.
Okay, I'm gonna imagine. Place yourself as an 11th century fisherman, just sailing back into shore at the end of the day. You just hauled in your last catch of fish with your net made of rope, right? And then you pull on the sails with rope to go head back to land, you know. Then you dock up against the pier. And what do? You tie your boat to the pier with rope.
No, then, you don't. You put an anchor down.
No, but how boats work.
If you're putting it on a pier, then yes. But I was thinking.
I don't think a fishing boat.
And
has
also, an anchor has a rope on as well.
That's so, true.
Or a chain.
Yeah, it could be a chain.
Not in 11th century.
Would you count a chain as a rope, though?
I would not, because it's a chain.
Yeah, but it's the same system as rope.
No, it's not a rope.
It's not
a
rope. Twine, because it's
a wire. It's a wire.
But it's not. Did it have?
Cable is a metal rope. A chain is a chain. Anyway, yeah. So you get off your boat, yeah. And you get back on your put all your fish in your cart, and then you get on your horse, or you get on the seat, and then you use your reins made of rope to.
A fisherman wouldn't have a horse, but I realise that's derivative. Yeah. Sorry, continue.
To take the horse to make the horse move, and in, you look to your right, and there's a church being built. It's steeple, it's big blocks being pulled up by winches, machines made of rope that allow power to be transferred easily and things to be built. You look at your clothes, it's held together by string. You get to your house, which has rope literally holding everything up, including all of the furniture and everything you live on.
Rope holding everything up.
Do you have like a tree house or something?
I forget that there's rope in the walls.
I would have you know that in the 11th century, most houses were wattle and daub.
I'm very glad to hear that in the 11th century, rope was such a big part. What's the point?
You know, they could have built a house without rope, though. It didn't do something which... It didn't meet something which was impossible without it.
No. But, however, all of these things were made by rope. Rope is such an important part of...
11th century life? Yeah,
I would say
right.
All life up until the 20th century... And in like including, and it's still relevant today, it's still important today. So clothes, for example, there isn't really a way of having
plastic.
But how would you hold that plastic together? You have one massive like poncho.
Wear a tarpaulin or something. Yeah.
Like we're all wearing
staple it together.
Okay, aside from stapling sheets of material together, we don't have a way to make clothes good without string. So clothes, shoes. We like those. I like those. Pulleys are still used. They may not use rope. They may use cable, but it's still the same thing. Cable is just metal rope, and pulleys are used in all construction. But for the majority of humanity's settled existence, rope has been in every invention and has saved the world.
Name one thing that could not have been possible in any other way if rope was not exist. It didn't exist.
Clothes that look good.
Are those necessarily
I feel like we would have just
society?
Invented
horse
something
riding,
else that worked.
Proper horse riding. Try and tell a horse where to go without using, like, reins. Or have they don't have proper stirrups, you know, without rope. You can't have any of those.
No, they just had leather straps.
Which is essentially rope, isn't it?
No, it's not.
Like, a strip of material rope.
And also, reins aren't rope, they're leather straps.
They're often rope.
But they could be leather straps.
They could be leather straps.
Alternatively, they could be sticks that you like get some wattle and daub onto the bit.
No, they couldn't because wattle and daub is brittle and so just snap. You could argue leather could be used as a substitute for all of this. However,
I feel like they'd a petty like.
How do you know how much harder it is to make leather than it is to?
Humans are fairly innovative. I think we could have found a substitute for rope. We couldn't have found a substitute for the internet. The internet is by definition the only. The internet.
Can't get 300 metres of leather in one massive thing very easily without killing thousands of cows.
Oh, we just found a way.
Like, it's unsustainable. Rope is a sustainable thing that defined humanity's existence.
But defined humanity's existence?
I feel like rope is one of those things, like food, where you kind of need something like it. But if a society is going to exist, you're always going to have something like it. And it's not necessarily... it's one of those things that if you want a bit of stringy thing, you cut a vine off a tree. Like, yeah. You haven't invented anything. You're using the natural resources.
Basically, it's boring. I don't hear about theos.
Alternatively, it's like fire. So I suggested raising fire, and you said, no, lightning set things on fire, and people just nurtured them. It's similar to that. They're just getting inspiration from vines and creepers and...
But a vine cannot hold much weight.
Well, it is. You can if you twist it together.
But then it's just a rope.
Well, yeah, but then you've not made the rope.
The second you twist two vines together, you've made a rope.
Well, why didn't we just use that? Why did we?
Because that's just a rope, which is what I said.
No, you misunderstood. Oh, forget it. Oh. I mean, okay. So
I just don't think you have any arguments against it because it's too good of an idea.
No, well, to be fair, we've been pretty rubbish at coming up with arguments.
Yeah, it's
against
one of those
it.
Things. It's been around for so long and was important because nothing else was really like it. That it is actually a fundamental.
No, there's quite a lot else like it.
It's so versatile and it's so easy.
Well, no, because it's one of those things that's so general that you can't make an argument necessarily against, because the concept of it, something like a rope would always have to exist for a society
that's true.
It's just happened that for us, we decided a rope was the best way to do it. If we lived on a planet that was full of pigs, we would make leather everything. But we don't, so we live on a planet full of trees, so therefore it's rope.
Do pigs produce
leather? No, I just realised that fundamental flaw with that statement.
The Poorly Informed Podcast, bringing you the best in worldly knowledge. So you've got your rope, which has had an impact. Obviously, the question is, has it had as big an impact?
Yes, because it's affected every generation of humanity for the last 60,000 years.
Well, if you ask Max, so will the internet.
How much do you use rope in your daily life now?
How much, every time I put on clothes, there's rope.
Oh my god, you need to get rid of that.
How has rope affected global geopolitics?
Recently.
Ever.
So quite a few people were hanged.
Yeah, but they'd find another way to do that. Like a single beheading.
Okay.
It's not like it's a monopoly market on executions.
People could find another way of disseminating information other than the internet. You know those yogurt pot things? Which had a piece of string between two yogurt pots. I'm sure that's inspired people. That probably inspired the internet. I'm calling that. That's the original internet right there. People talking down strings on yogurt pots.
Can someone move on and ask you about the pill?
All right, Theo, why would you say the pill is the most important invention in human history?
Okay, so you've got... So, until sort of 1960, when the contraceptive pill, which is a... For those of you who may not know, whoever you might be, I don't know. So basically, it's a pill you take every day, which reduces the chances of you getting pregnant when you have sex. Obviously, therefore, women take it and men don't. So up until the pill being available, the forms of contraception were condoms, which if you want to use, you had to negotiate with your significant other, or you can use a sponge or the diaphragm, which are quite invasive, messy procedures. So there was nothing with the ease or the simplicity of the pill, and nothing that had the success rate of it, effectively. So, but until the pill came around, women, it's one of those triangles, so you can't achieve all three goals. So you can, have a good husband, you can have sex, or you can have a good career. So if you have sex and a good husband, you can't have a good career. If you're having a good career and sex, then that probably means you're not going to be able to have a husband. No, wait. Oh no, that's just risky because you might have a baby. If you have a good career and a good husband, that probably means you're not having any babies, which probably means you're not having sex. So none of the three were meetable. And because people married younger, because there was no contraception, if you married late, then, when I say good husbands, genuinely all the decent and good-looking guys would have gone. So you've got this problem and you've got this massive inequality. Women can't have a proper career because they might have a baby halfway through. Women can't take long-term... Women can't take long-term courses or MBAs or degrees or whatever. And then the pill came along and you have this massive, massive impact, massive increase in equality, especially in the States, which is probably where a lot of my research is lifted from. So 1970s, 99% on people on dentistry degrees were male, 95% on law and MBAs. Law degrees and MBA degrees were male. Whereas by 1980s, a third of all higher education undergraduates were women, which is an astonishing increase. And a lot of that is down to the contraceptive pill.
And equality is good.
Let's just establish that as a podcast. Equality is good. Isn't that right,
Peter? As I say, I'm all in fan. I'm a fan of gender equality, right? It's good. However, is it on par with, nuclear weapons and the internet? I'm not going to talk about strings, that's stupid. Nuclear power and the internet, because yes, it makes people more equal, however, what further effects does that have?
Well, if people are more equal, more people are entering. So, for instance, women can enter the workforce, women can take up education. You've got a massive increase in skilled labour and productivity, a massive increase in the labour force. Economies are going to grow and are going to develop. So in the long term, you have this huge pool. And even now, so for instance, in Japan, massive inequality. If women are truly equal to men, boom, the economy is going to soar. And also, nuclear fission, nor the internet, nor string, has been able to bring about... We see equality as good. None of these things have been brought about in the last thousands and tens of thousands of years by any of your inventions. A fundamental human right. None of your guys' inventions have preserved or upheld any human rights whatsoever.
That is a lie. The internet... You know, all these times you hear about, you know, Saudi Arabia, the Middle East, Asia, you know, they're taking away people's human rights. How do you hear about that? Through the internet. The internet, easier distribution of information, which makes it more widely known that all these countries are doing these atrocious things, which leads to more protests and intervention against them, and thus bring about better civil rights in those countries.
Saudi Arabia doesn't see, like, a dodgy Huffington Post article and think, damn it, we better clear up our evil-doing ways.
I think the internet also promotes equality in another way, the fact that lots of the internet's anonymous, and then everyone is treated the same if you're all anonymous. There's
the internet
there.
Is a hotbed of inequality and sexism and, like, what's it called? What's it called when you're not actively doing... So you're not actively racist, you're doing it with... You're being racist without thinking about
it. Or subconsciously racist.
Subconscious... There's a bit, or subconscious sexism. Like
whitewashing.
Like misogyny.
Things.
To be fair, every time I recycle the internet, I do think it's a white man saying it. So...
I mean, let's have one of those nice little photos of the person who's written it.
Yeah, true.
Sorry, that was irrelevant.
But, so that is true. You know, that thing you said about racism and how there are definitely groups on the internet that, you know, they are racist. But, and that is definitely a downside of the internet, is it allows not minorities as in racial minorities, but minorities as in, like, belief minorities to get together and think their opinion is justified.
So you've got echo chambers.
Yeah, that's the word. Echo chambers are bad. So back in the day, if you were really racist... In, like, your village, no one else is racist. You'll think, maybe I shouldn't be racist.
But now,
you go onto the internet. Like, I'm racist. No one I know is racist. But if I go on the internet, I can find all these other people who are racist, which means my opinion is justified as other people share it.
Do we just cut out the bit back saying I'm racist?
Shall I just play that, like, 15, 20 times in the front of us?
I'm racist. So what you're saying is the internet has effectively failed to uphold equality. The contraception pill...
I'm saying it has both positives and negatives on equality.
An intrinsic human right, which is that of income and gender equality. Okay?
True.
What has rope and nuclear vision have brought about economic progress and the threat of mutually assured destruction, okay? Let's say human rights, and I think you would broadly agree, human rights are one of the most genuine, universal, like, desirable things we can have. Okay, you would say that human rights are better than economic growth.
Yes,
and
I completely
agree. So can we not say that in this case a contraception pill is more significant because it's sought and it is achieved in some cases a human right, whereas your invention just had an atomic war for the threat of an atomic war for 70 years.
Doesn't make it more important necessarily, though.
If we're saying it achieves an intrinsic desirable aim that is superior to an economic...
No, we're talking about importance and significance, not moral goodness.
Yeah, and I'm saying that human rights, what we've effectively agreed is that human rights are more important than economic growth.
Let's be honest, is the pill the only reason women achieved rights?
It's an important reason, yes.
However, it would have already happened without the pill. It would have been slower, but it definitely would have happened. By the 70s, there were already steps towards it.
Nothing like the pill out there, and until the pill was invented...
Yes, there were. No, when was the pill invented? 1970s? 60s. Birth rates in America decreased around the turn of the 19th century.
That's because childcare became more expensive.
No, there's other methods of contraceptive.
No.
The pill's not the only form of contraceptive.
Yeah, I know. But, right, condoms are often ripped, misused, or broken. So, actually, 18 in 100 people who use them will have a child. Okay, the sponge and diaphragm...
I have also just read that statistic, and can I clarify that if you use them properly, it's 2%.
Yeah, that's true. But, realistically, they're used improperly. It's more like 80.
But you can also say about the pill.
If the pill's used properly, improperly,
it's
6%, only 6 in 100. And if it's used properly, it's a 20th of that. It's less than 1% chance of getting pregnant.
So for the pill to be effective, you've got to take it at the exact same time every day, non-stop, for your life. Well, for as long as you don't want to get pregnant. And it can cause long-term like there are certain cases of it causing negative effects, such as being less fertile, which will lead to, if you want a kid, you can't have a kid. And that is very bad for the mental health and well-being of people. It also, you're talking about, oh, but if it's not used effectively, the pill, loads of people do not take it to its optimum effectiveness at
the
exact same time.
So if you don't use it effectively, it's a 6% chance. If you don't use a condom effectively, it's an 18% chance. If you don't use a sponge or a diaphragm effectively, it's about a 10 or 15% chance.
It's much harder to use a condom incorrectly than to use a pill incorrectly.
That is true. That is true.
And also, can we emphasise that condoms are incredibly cheap, and I suspect that the pill will be substantially more expensive.
But if you're going to use a condom, you have to negotiate that with the man who you are sleeping with. And in that case, they, A, may be unwilling, B, may not have condoms on them, or C, just not know how to put one on. Like, there's so much more that can go wrong.
I'm not denying that the pill didn't have an influence. However, there are other forms of contraceptive and other things which brought about
in no way would they brought about inequality. Let me read you a quote. I have a quote written by a Financial Times journalist writing for the BBC.
This is someone else's opinion, so it's got to be right.
A sexually active woman who tried to be a doctor, dentist or lawyer was doing the equivalent of building a factory in an earthquake zone. Just one bit of bad luck and the expensive investment would be wasted. That was
California,
before the pill came along. Yeah.
You know, California's an earthquake zone and they've got a pretty strong economy.
Well, yeah, that's a lot of it isn't an earthquake zone. Like, that's what you criticise
about that foil.
Just like say, most of your argument against rope was the fact that there might be some magical substitute which humanity would have thought of.
Yeah,
we have legitimate many other substitutes, and you're like, no.
Because none of them were as effective. And I can see
also,
your point now, Peter.
I would just like to say, the pill doesn't work for everyone because there's different versions of the pill, different hormones. Those hormones do not work well with some people. They can cause adverse side effects like headaches and depression. Is not pretty common, but it is definitely a side effect caused by the pill. So it's not all wholly good, and it's not the sole reason for other things.
I agree,
I don't think it's the most significant.
And I'd say one of the most used things, particularly among younger people, and this is more important, the developing world. If you can get condoms to a large number of people very, very cheaply, which we can, that has more of an impact than a small number of more expensive pills.
Oh, that is true.
The
mass, if you can get more things out cheaply, then yes, but condoms still don't do as effective as a job. So, and a lot of the people in those developing countries are not going to be seeking university education necessarily, whereas a pill is more or less, I can't comment now obviously, but certainly at the time it was seen as used by college students because then they could have a proper career rather than...
I'd just like to say, Theo, you're saying lots of these people wouldn't pursue higher education. One of the reasons for that is because they could potentially have children, so just bringing the pill to them would mean that more women would go to higher education.
Also, it shows the effectiveness of the pill.
No, because you can't distribute it as easily as condoms have, which are a very close substitute and arguably much more effective in terms of distribution to everyone and longevity
I think we can combine two of the ideas here, because radiation poisoning is almost always gives long-lasting infertility.
He's got that face on where he's going to make a stupid point.
In people who experience it. So if we roll out large-scale nuclear fission, nuclear energy generators, and then just have it be staffed by women, and have low safety standards...
I can't believe that sentence came out of your mouth.
I really think that the pill was actually... My main point rests on the fact that it is proven to be far more effective, far more private and easier to take. And it means that, and the evidence does show, if the condoms were as good as the pill, why weren't women moving into higher education before the condom? Is my reverse question.
Were, but at a slower rate. You cannot say
reason
why women started pursuing a higher education and stuff is because of the pill. It's a significant
reason. The statistics genuinely don't lie. Okay,
correlation, not causation.
Less than a tenth of MBA and law degree students, dentistry students and medical students were women in 1970. Okay,
so
when the condom was out, but the pill was only just being implemented. 10 years later, like I say, women made up a third of all higher education.
So, it's not the general, improvement of women's rights. 1965 1965-64 Civil Rights Act.
Oh, well, because that
had nothing to do with, you know, women becoming more equal. It was all because of the pill.
That made it easier for them to not get pregnant. How?
No, but it that.
They the were reason already, why no, they went to women, university. Women were already able to access higher education. You know that as well as I do.
More socially acceptable due to the changing environment of social progress at the time. It was not just the pill that caused it.
No. We know that 1980 we had a massive change in the way that daughters saw their mums working and saw. They saw role models. Okay, we've done this in history class.
Yeah,
right?
But we need to do it in history. That is not the only reason.
There are
lots of other reasons.
We've actually barely covered the pill. We should have done a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like, weird, because Miss Cheshire is teaching us, and you would have thought, like, because she often touched. Anyway. I'm the host. Sorry,
yeah, should we round this back?
Okay, so let's do what we normally do. We have agreed nothing, learnt a lot. Had a lot of very feisty. We never argue. I'm sorry, Max. This goes wrong.
It's because I'm sitting on this and not the sofa.
Yeah, though. The chair, you mean?
Chair, yeah.
Yeah, so let's round this back up. So we've agreed nothing, learned a lot. As we normally do we want to give a short closing summary? So Peter, do you want to start?
I don't know if there's much point in me giving a summary. I think anyone's going to like respect me anyway.
No, we're not. But go on.
Never do.
Have any of you gone sailing ever?
Yes.
Yeah, and I was terrified.
Yes, because you're bad.
I nearly got strangled by a rope, so.
Yeah,
when I was
okay,
sailing.
So how many of your things have almost strangled Will? I rest my case, thank you. I mean, his only complaint is it didn't do.
No, but internet has kept
the job.
The internet had kept him up at 4 in the morning, which had probably done just as much damage to his long term survival prospects.
As in death.
Yeah, he's going to be dead at 60.
No, yeah. Cheers, Theo. Thanks. That vote of confidence there.
Yep. I haven't changed my opinion at all. I still think it's the internet. However, I think nuclear power is close and up there. But longevity for the future, I think the internet is going to be more important because it covers a wide range of social, political and economic bases.
I think nuclear at the moment is the most important because it's the only thing that's really changed geopolitics in a fundamental way that nothing else could. However, I give it 200 years and I think the internet will do the same thing.
Okay. Peter, do you have anything you would like to say? And I'm serious, you know, reflective.
Genuinely, I don't.
Okay. Was it just because you were looking at memes the entire time?
Yes.
Yeah, fair enough. No, nuclear fission is more important than I give it credit for, and the internet as well, and ropes. And I would say that you guys made some good points regarding the contraceptive pill. So yeah, I feel like there's some good suggestions there. If you're still here, fantastic. If you want to get in touch and tell us why you're wrong, tell us what we missed out, then please go to our Instagram and our Twitter, which is at
@podcastpoorly.
Thank you, Max. And the email, if you have longer comments, is at poorlyinformeddiscussion @gmail.com. Sorry, that's poorlyinformeddiscussion @gmail.com, all lowercase. Thank you very much for listening. It's been great to have you with us. We hope you have a fantastic week, and we will be back. Guys, is there any slightly more informed episodes on the way?
There's a slightly more informed episode in the works on Russia, so that should be looking to come out soon. However, it's a bit of a monster. It's about an hour long currently, so
wow.
That'll get to you when it gets done,
okay.
Whenever that is.
Sounds great. Well, so if you don't know, our slightly more informed series is the sort of extra bonus bits we've already done. I did one on Brexit a while ago. Do check that out. That's all from us, unless there's any last things people want to say. Great. Have a fantastic week. We'll see you next time. No, not see you. It sounds like we're making that joke up, but like...
We're generally just that incompetent.
Yeah. Bye.
It's not he next time, is it, though?